Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Tina S. and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. Today is Thursday, July the 2nd, 2026. Today we are reading from the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostics, page 49, and the first full paragraph, starting with, instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, reading through one paragraph, ending with, rather vain of us, wasn't it? The readers of the text today are Zoe N. is reading the text, Penny C. is page 164, Judith S. P. is our backup, 12 Steps, Ilana P., 12 Traditions, Adrian N., our newcomer greeter is Lisa N., and our second hour host is Eileen M. The reference numbers for Wednesday, July the 1st, 2026, for the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,595. That's 23595. And the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,596. That's 23596. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll ask Ilana P. to read the 12 steps. Please read, Ilana.
Good morning. It's Ilana P., recovered compulsive overeater from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Ilana P. And now I will ask Adrian N. to read the 12 traditions. Please read, Adrian.
Hi, Adrian N., Florida. 12 traditions. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is the desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities.
Thanks so much, Adrian N. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions of the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. Today, we resume our study of the Big Book. We are in the chapter We Agnostic on page 49, and I will ask Zoe N. to please start reading for us. Please read, Zoe.
Hi. Good morning. Zoe N. here, compulsive overeater from New Mexico. Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word, the alpha and the omega, the beginning and end of all. Rather vain of us, wasn't it? So, this makes me, think of the purpose on and many levels of this text of to bring me to believe in a power greater than myself and to encourage that and to so that I learn how to develop a relationship with that power. The preceding paragraph has this, shows the extremes of nothing and nowhere, or all powerful guiding creative intelligence. And this specific paragraph that I just read makes me think of, more of the spectrum of the disease of, we can regard ourselves as intelligent agents advancing the creation. So we can participate. Our intelligence has purpose, but are we the end all be all? No, I think we're somewhere in between, and we get to choose what that in between is for us. Rather, so to look at the spectrum, we get to see our intelligence as valuable, but it also doesn't help us answer some of the most pressing problems of our addiction and of life. This idea of humility that's embedded in here is essential. Discounting human intelligence, but self-knowledge isn't the end all. It doesn't help us heal all the way. I looked up the word vain with there's two definitions of being self-absorbed or being unsuccessful. We tried something producing no results. That was certainly the case in my disease. In humility, remembering that we're not in control, We need help beyond ourselves. We're not the center of the universe. And this paragraph also has this, we can scale it. It's like personal and then also collective. And then there's also this idea of, you know, being a participant in, and so it's this ever advancing creation, you know, so it makes me think of spiritual growth within this program, and I've certainly felt that, been on that path as in progress, and I'm grateful to have shared, and I pass. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Zoe Ann, for getting us started. Okay, and we're going to take a list of names, and although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience. So if you've shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back, and I'm going to take a list. If you give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from, who would like to share on this paragraph?
Annette Day.
Is that Annette?
Janet,
sorry.
That's okay.
Janet A.
Teresa A.
Teresa N. A. I'm hearing today. Teresa A. Who else?
Roy C.
C.
Shelly B.
So Janet A, Teresa A, Roy C, Shelly B, and you all tell me where you're calling from when you share. Who else wants to share? Lots of time here.
Elizabeth W. from North Carolina.
Who is that? W?
Oh, Elizabeth W.
Elizabeth, okay. Thanks. Got you, Elizabeth. Who else? Janet A, Teresa A, Roy C, Shelly B, Lisa, Elizabeth W. Okay, let's start there and then we'll take some more names. Okay, Janet, you want to share with us, please?
Good morning. This is Janet B. This is Janet B., recovered compulsive eater in North Carolina. I love this paragraph. So this is for, you know, people, they're at step two. They're not sure if they believe in God. Why should they believe in God? And they give us like a sneak preview of what our life lived surrendered to God is like, right? Page 62, they tell us about God, that he is the principal. We are his agents. And so they're telling me that not only is God going to remove my food obsession, he's going to give me a purpose. I don't know if y'all were like me, always saying, why am I here? What's the meaning of life? What's my purpose? And here they are telling me my purpose. I'm going to be an intelligent agent, not a bozo on the bus. I'm supposed to use my brains, right? God gave us brains to use. An intelligent agent doing work. What's my work? Spearhead of God's ever-advancing creation. I thought God, like, created the world in 6 days and, like, took a day off to rest. But they're saying, no, God is still creating. Well, what's he creating? He's recreating us, right? Back in the doctor's opinion, page XXVII, it's about people recreating their lives. God is recreating us. He took me, the train wreck of a woman that I was, and recreated me so that I could be an intelligent agent. And look what it says, spearhead. That means like on the tip of a spear at the very front of God's like search and rescue missions for other compulsive eaters just like me. That I don't have to sit there and figure out what's the purpose, right? I don't have to think my intelligence, my brains are the alpha, omega, the beginning and the end. My brains and my soul and my everything surrendered and submitted to God gives me the most beautiful sense of purpose, an intelligent agent for like the creator of the world, Since not spending like the rest of the time watching Netflix up in the heavens or anything like that, he is recreating people just like us to be more unselfish, to be more godly, to be more caring of others. And I get to help and participate in that. That is the most beautiful, great sense of purpose that I could ever imagine having. And I just feel so blessed and grateful to be part of it. And with that, I pass. Thanks.
Thanks so much, Janet B. from North Carolina. Next, we have Teresa A., followed by Rory C. Please share, Teresa. Tell us where you're calling
from. Good morning. This is Teresa A. in Silver Spring, Maryland. Thank you so much for your service. So in this chapter, we agnostics, and even in this paragraph, it says, we agnostics and atheists chose to believe that our human intelligence was the last word. And so if I am someone who doesn't identify as agnostic, you know, I might be thinking that, you know, this chapter is merely for observation. But if I've been in denial throughout the rest of this paragraph, this chapter, this actual paragraph is where if I'm being honest with myself, I have to identify in. Because it's not just the atheists and the agnostics, right? So I could be going to church every Sunday and believe that my human intelligence is the last word. That's how I act, you know? You can see it playing out in churches all over the place, right? And that I am the Alpha and the Omega. Notice that it's not capitalized. When we're talking about God, it is capital A Alpha, capital O Omega. No, but in my own mind, I am the Alpha and the Omega. I am the beginning and the end, and now I know how everything should go. So I have to, if I'm being honest with myself, I'm like, you know, it's not just the agnostic, it's either not just the agnostic and atheist, or I too am an agnostic and atheist in certain respects, certainly in the way that I go through the world. And what God wants for me is to be an intelligent agent, you know, as was just mentioned. You know, later in the book, it talks about our proper placing is that God is the principal and we are the agents. We work on behalf of something else. We are empowered by something else. And a spearhead is the tip of a weapon. And if I am a spearhead of, you know, of God's ever-advancing creation, you know, a weapon is usually used in war. And I believe that, you know, this is spiritual warfare. When it comes to the food is just the beginning of it, but it's a war for where am I going to be putting my energy? Is it going to be advancing God's creation, or is it going to be you know, driving into others with my own agenda and destroying everything in sight? So I invite those of us who are not agnostic or atheist to finally put down the argument. This paragraph tells us that we are, at least if you act the way I do and act like I am the Alpha and the Omega. Thanks, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Teresa A. from Maryland. Next, we have Roy C., followed by Shelley B. Please share, Roy. Tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Roy C., and I'm calling from South City. And welcoming everybody to a warm, lovely morning. It's a beautiful day out there today. And I'm thankful to be able to talk on the vision for you this morning. The higher power is a brilliant thing. Us humans have a lot of talent and know how to do a lot of things, but to think that our mental capacity is the end all is silly. I've, you know, discovered this later on in life that I can't do everything for myself, do everything right, and I come across impasses and things that I don't know about, and I have to. This is where the 11th step, sought through meditation and prayer, constant contact with a higher power. In meditation and prayer, I can be in contact with a higher power and be advised and led in the right direction. And the more I do that, the better off I am. You know, if I stray away from and try to go my own way, I'm going to mess up within time. I'm going to be hanging around at the for a haircut, and I, you know, and I don't wish to do that. I'll stay in constant contact with a higher power. By coming to meetings like this in the morning and listen to other compulsive overeaters and becoming part of the herd that follows a higher power and a leader, because for me that's the way to go, and I'm happy with that, and I'll stick with that. And thanks for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thanks. Thanks so much, Roy C. Next, we have Shelley B., followed by Elizabeth W. Please share, Shelley, and tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. This is Shelley B. in Iowa, hot, steamy Iowa today. I'm so grateful to be here this morning. I have this whole paragraph underlined, highlighted, everything. And, you know, before I got here, I really thought that I could figure everything out. I had no idea food was a symptom. And when I came here and started to kind of wake up, I guess is the best way to say it, I started to see, like, my thinking is what got me here. Me thinking that I was the Alpha and the Omega is what got me here, that I could figure it all out. And the one thing I never, ever, ever wanted to turn over was my food. I didn't think God cared about what I was putting into my body, except I knew that God was caring about what I was putting into my body because I was destroying myself. And today, you know, I'm learning, like, the reason I'm putting or was putting all that food into my body is that buildup of emotion, that thinking that I had to do it all. And instead, just not, you know, God, we are intelligent agents, spearheads of God's ever-advancing creation. And it's been shared already. There's been some really beautiful shares this morning. And, you know, my job today is to align my thinking with God's will. And the only way I know how to do that is to go to God first. So when I'm struggling or even when I'm happy, I have to stop and pause and go to God first and either thank Him for getting me where I'm at today or asking for help and to direct my thinking. And that's the first thing I do when I wake up in the morning is ask God to direct my thinking. And, you know, things are better. I love this "rather vain of us, wasn't it" sentence. And that's me, to think that I knew everything. That is very vain of me. I don't know it all. I don't even want to pretend to know it all anymore. And I'm just so grateful. I'm so grateful for this program, for this meeting, because it's given me the solution that I couldn't find on my own. And here you guys are sharing it with me freely every single day. And I'm so grateful for that. So I am going to stop talking and not be rambling and let somebody else share. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much, Shelley B. from Iowa. Before we hear from Elizabeth, let me remind everybody, if you've come on late or didn't hear where we're reading from, we are on page 49, the chapter "We Agnostics," the first full paragraph, starting with "Instead of regarding ourselves as intelligent agents," reading through one paragraph, ending with "Rather vain of us, wasn't it?" Okay, please share, Elizabeth.
Good morning, y'all. Elizabeth W. from North Carolina. I'm new to OA, but not new to 12-step. Grateful to be here. And this is my first share since I've come to OA, so thank you for listening in advance. This paragraph really speaks to me because in my faith tradition, I was raised Episcopalian. It's a very intellectual tradition. And a lot of thinking and study and questioning are encouraged. And I have always done a lot of thinking about God and reading about God and, you know, attending church services and all that. But, you know, am I really surrendering to God? you know, am I just using my thinking about God to elevate myself as somebody who knows better because I understand God so well, or I understand the Buddhist text so well? It really makes me think, you know, despite not being an agnostic or an atheist, I think my vanity and my own intelligence and my own study gets in my way. And I also think about, you know, what's required in 12 steps to get into recovery is a lot of obedience, and not just obedience to what my sponsor is asking me to do, but what God is asking me to do. And in addition to being an intellectual person, I'm also a rebellious person. And being told what to do is hard for me. It always has been, because I think I know better, as other people have said. I think I know best. But, you know, last night I had a dream that I picked up the food. And I feel like that was a sign from God. And I could just think about that dream and analyze it, or I could sit with it and realize that God is sending me a warning, and, you know, to not be in my vanity and to not be arrogant, and to remember that I am powerless over this addiction. So, again, grateful to be here, and thanks so much for letting me share. I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Elizabeth W. from North Carolina. And before we take another list, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day so that others may share their experience too. So if you shared on Tuesday or Wednesday, please step back, and we have time for probably about like 9 more shares. So who would like to share? Give me your first name, first initial of your last name, and where you're calling from.
Peggy W. in Wisconsin.
Yep, Peggy.
B.
Didn't get that. Sound like a gentleman.
Pete B.
Gotcha, Pete. Okay.
Deanna in Ohio.
Jennifer C.
Jennifer C.
Claire R.
Claire R. Anyone else?
A in Vermont.
What else? We could take a couple more.
Melissa S.
Is that Melissa?
Yes.
Okay. Anyone else?
Timona G, Pennsylvania.
What's the first name, G? Timona?
Silvana. S, like sunshine, I.
Silvana?
Silvana. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right, let's go with that, and then if we have time, we'll take some more. We have Peggy W., Pete B., Iona, Jennifer C., Claire R., Ramona A., Melissa S., Silvana G. Please share, Peggy.
All right, Peggy W. here from Wisconsin. Good morning to everyone. I am just sitting here feeling so very grateful that I found my higher power. I've always kind of been a believer in God. I had a rough beginning, you know, being a child. Where I grew up was very difficult, very much full of insecure doubts and insecurities. I just believed he just wasn't there for me. But I'm getting it more and more every day that he is definitely here for me. So many good things are happening since I've been in, you know, this food program. And I'm a compulsive overeater, by the way. Once I start putting flour, sugar, or quantities in my body, I can't stop. I came in at 263. Couldn't even bend over and tie my damn shoes. I was miserable, depressed, wanted to die every day. Thought I was a crazy person because I'm like, what the fuck? Why can't I put the food down? I said, Peggy, don't eat that. And I ate it anyway. And then would just feel all the things that you feel. And then I found out that I was a food addict. I had no idea that was a thing. Man, I bought into that hook, line, and sinker. And for 11 months, I stayed abstinent. And I lost 110 pounds. And I could tie my shoes. And I could get on the floor with my grandbabies. I could like myself a little bit more. And then I thought, oh, I got this. And I put 30 pounds back on. And I'm still fighting every day to keep abstinent. This is a very powerful, cunning, powerful, and baffling. What, however they say that, that is this disease. And I truly believe it progresses. Every time you pick up, it just gets worse. So I'm just, you know, by the hair of my chinny chin chin, abstinent 4 days today. And I say that because I'm hanging on very, very tight, praying, getting on my knees in the morning and asking him for the willingness and the and surrendering every morning to this. And think of it, and thinking, trying to think of it as positive. This is an okay thing. So what? I could be a drug addict on heroin. I can't even imagine what kind of life that would be for me. I could be an alcoholic. Well, I watched my husband or my ex-husband die of that. That was no fun. I could be all these things. I'm a food addict. Yeah, food is everywhere. It's kind of a little trickier sometimes, I think. I don't know. I think addiction is hard no matter what the addiction. But I know that with my higher power's help, and someone said it the other day, if you didn't have anybody else in your life, that would be okay. Thank you. If you just have your higher power as your best friend, you'll get there, Peg. And with that, I'll pass. You guys all have a great day.
Thanks so much, Peggy W. from Wisconsin. Next, we have Pete B., followed by Iona. Please share, Pete.
Thank you, Tina, for taking the meeting. You're doing a great job. My name's Pete B., and I'm a compulsive overeater. I'm a compulsive overeater. That means I impulsively, compulsively, either knowingly or unknowingly ingest substances that trigger the phenomena of craving. And once I trigger the phenomenon of craving, I can't control the amount or the quantity that I take in of that substance. That condition may or may not include addiction. I may or may not be addicted to those substances, but when I trigger the allergy, I can't control how much I take. You know, somehow, somewhere, I don't know when it happened, but, you know, it became customary in our groups to propagate this narrative about you know, us as people that suffer from this condition, as people that have no power, no control, no agency, no influence over any of the events that happen in our lives. And we're somehow, some way victims of this merciless obsession. And to a certain degree, we are. Right? But this paragraph right here is telling us something different. That we are intelligent agents, right? In spearheads of God's ever-advancing, you know, creation, right? And there's no value in playing small, right? In presenting our, you know, offering self-deprecating descriptions of ourselves because we want to fit in with the herd. Because if I express myself in a way with conviction, with character, with what the creator put inside me, that's somehow some way going to make me unlikable or make me come across as cocky or arrogant. And that is not the case here, right? What is an agent? An agent is someone who has been empowered by something else. That means that we have been given power. The only time I have no power, no control, or no choice about food is when it's in my body. The allergy can't get triggered by my emotions or my feelings or being disappointed or lonely or any of those other things. It can only be triggered by the substance that causes it. And that obsession, that compulsivity to put that substance in my body, that has been removed by the one that has all power. Not by my sponsor who has a sponsor, who has a food plan that's been given to them by the blessed nutritionist that works with all the other OA members. I identified the substances that trigger the phenomenon of craving. I put them down and I don't ever trigger it. I've had a spiritual experience as a result of working the steps, and I walk a free man today with pride and dignity, the way the Creator intended us all to. And with that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Pete B. from Pennsylvania. Next, we have Iona, followed by Jennifer C. Please share, Iona.
I'm not sure if you mean Kiana from Ohio, but if there
That'll
is
work.
Iona.
Yes, it, no,
okay,
it's Kiana. Sorry.
Okay, thank you so much. I'm Kiana. I'm in Ohio. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater. And, yeah, I love this chapter. I love the this paragraph. And a dear friend shared on another WhatsApp group this passage that talks about the it's called The Powerlessness, The Life I Think God Owes Me. So I was one who had a faith and believed God and prayed and asked God to take this fatness away from me and help me stop eating like an animal, and also pray for other things. I prayed that I would have another child in a traditional way. And when God did not hear my prayer, I thought, and did not answer, then I felt like, you know what, I'm going to take charge of this myself. And that's what I call vanity, thinking that I was going to be in charge. And even though, you know, I would pray for a little bit of relief, and once I got 4 days of abstinence, then, okay, God, thank you very much, but I don't really trust you, so now I'm going to do it myself. And I would marvel at the food plan, like, oh, my God, this is so awesome. But, you know, none of those things worked. And God just continued to love me and to be patient with me. And another person shared earlier about people, those who did not believe it, they were agnostics or atheists, still having a problem with the food. This is the reason why I had the problem. I didn't trust God. I didn't feel like he really wanted to help me and that he loved me and that maybe he would help me a little bit, but then I had to take care of myself to avoid disappointment, to avoid him letting me down. But, man, that's so not true. God is good, and even in life circumstances, he's still good. And so I'm so grateful for a program of recovery and not having the vanity. Yeah, the food plan works. It's good. Yeah, scientifically, the calories going in is less than I need for my body, and so I lost the weight. However, without his power, I would have never achieved that. And so now I can go to my Creator. I can go into his arms and know that I am good enough and he loves me even when things don't go my way. So thanks for letting me share. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much, Kiana from Ohio. Next, we have Jennifer C., followed by Claire R. Please share, Jennifer. Tell us where you're calling from.
Hey, good morning. Jennifer C., recovered in South Carolina. I'm so grateful for this book and Big Book Recovery, where I get to just follow the directions and not wear it like a badge of honor when I say, I don't believe in God, and I still got recovery. And let me tell you how great my life is, because here's the good news. The central fact of our lives becomes the consciousness, our own consciousness of God's presence. That's what this book is offering me, right? The kind of recovery where the most important fact of my life becomes my consciousness of how close my God is, not how great my life is. Because guess what happens when my life ain't so great? What happens? What do I brag about? Good news. When God is the central fact, I get to brag all day, every day, no matter what, because God is good all the time. And this book takes me through this process where it teaches me that I am without hope unless I get rescued. And the truth is, I can certainly follow the directions. I can certainly follow the recipe, get the outcome, get the beautiful product as a result of the directions, and then not give any credit to who gave me the directions in the first place. I can do that all day long. But why would I want to? Because this book is so specific about how we grow into this beautiful relationship where we know who rescued us. we understand where the rescue came from, and we don't apologize for being excited about that. And I'm so thankful that the play-by-play is super duper clear. It tells us the how and the why of it. It tells us what we're surrendering to. And if we say, you know what, I got this thing and I never had to believe in God, then we're missing the whole point. And with that, I pass.
Thanks so much. Jennifer C. from South Carolina. Next, we have Claire R., followed by Ramona A. Please share, Claire, and tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. I'm calling from Fairview, Tennessee. I'm a compulsive overeater and fairly new to the program. This chapter, this paragraph, what I want to say is the intelligent agent. Something that I'm seeing in recovery is how I have ridiculed and put down my intelligence, the way that the Lord created me, and, you know, feeling discounted, less than, I shouldn't feel this way. When I think about my quote-unquote intelligence, I think how my feelings have dictated every choice in my life. And, you know, those choices have been detrimental, some of them. So something that's so beautiful and marvelous that's happening through recovery is God is showing me that the way he made me, sensitive to others. I work with children, so, you know, I'm very in tune with their emotions and helping them navigate their emotions and not making them, you know, not shaming them in the way they feel. That is exactly this. And we talk about it in early childhood is building their emotional intelligence, because they need to know that it is okay to feel something and navigate through it to come to a place of peace. And God's been so faithful through these steps and showing me that I am growing and it's okay for me to be a beginner. One other thing I wanted to share, just because I need the bravery to speak this, is my husband passed away on July 4th, and the anniversary of his death is coming up on Saturday. And I'm grateful that in the past I have run to food, and it's been soothing for a minute, and then I've hated myself after. And I'm grateful this morning that I've got some reprieve from that, and that the steps and these meetings and my sponsor and all the beautiful people that God's put in my life, I'm leaning into that this weekend, because I can feel a grief in my body. And so I just wanted to speak that out loud and be vulnerable and tell you guys that, because it's in my heart, and that's part of the intelligence that God's given me, is to be okay with the way that I feel and say it in a safe place. So with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Claire R. So sorry for your loss. From Tennessee, next we have Ramona A., followed by Melissa S. Please share, Ramona.
Good morning. This is Ramona A. in Vermont. I'm a recovered compulsive eater. And not totally sure, but what I wanted to say, and there's been so much that's said that is so meaningful to me, and I'm sure to many other people. But when I came into the program, well, most of my life, I believed there was a God. I knew there was a God, but I was in such fear that I thought I had to do everything myself. And so I became totally self-reliant. I always said, I can do whatever I have to do. And I went about trying to do that, and not only for myself, but for my husband and my child, and then for friends and relatives and, you know, whoever needed help in some way, you know, I had the answer for. And that, of course, didn't work, and I began to see how it didn't work with my eating and my weight and whatever, and it was just more and more discouraging, that's what it was, because I didn't know anything about addiction. I didn't know that this was a disease. I began to think that maybe it was a disease, by that time, though, I think I was just frightened to even get any comfort from that. But when I finally, someone got me to Overeaters Anonymous, that was when I began to see that maybe I didn't have to do everything first before God was going to come in and help me. I didn't have to be taking care, having all the answers, doing all the work. You know, I could let go just a little bit. In fact, I was supposed to let go completely. You know, that was it, to surrender completely. And that didn't happen right away, but God was very patient, has been very patient with me. And slowly but surely over the years has really helped me understand how much I am loved and how much I can trust. And I did start trust one thing, you know, and oh yes, that was, that not worked, but that allowed me to be open to God's love. Then trust another and another until, you know, this, as I'm human, I don't always trust everything, but my goal is, and what I want to do each day, is to trust for the entire day, trust God in everything, every decision and whatever. And I know I made a mistake yesterday, and I got back into my self-will and back into being self-reliant and whatever, and I wasn't happy about it, and that's a good sign.
Gentle reminder.
Okay, that today and on, I can trust God with my decisions, etc. So with that, I pass.
Thanks so much, Ramona A. from Vermont. Next, we have Melissa S., followed by Silvana G. Please share, Melissa, and tell us where you're calling from.
Hi, it's Melissa S. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Okay, thanks. So I'm calling from New Jersey. What keeps going through my head as I'm listening here is how much I think I'm in control. And as much as I say I believe in God and I have a higher power, like, program is pushing me to the limit. It is pushing every control button within me. And I think I'm in control, and I recognize my life is unmanageable, and I'm trying to lean in to my higher power, and the more I lean in, the more my every control button is getting pushed, and character flaws of mine are smacking me in the face, like being accountable and being honest and not making up a story and not pretending about my food plan. And I just, I'm even resistant to, like, you know, I said I was gonna. I wanted to claim my seat, so I'm claiming my seat. But what am I here to say? Because I'm trying so hard to, in one hand, do program, and on the other hand, be in control. And then I see the more I lean into the plan, the more God keeps showing up. I just spent a few days at a spiritual retreat. And while I was there, a few different things happened that were clearly a message from God to me. And I'm just trying to, like, reflect on that so I can take God in and listen to all of you over and over again talk about the freedom and the happiness you have all found from leaning in to God and not fighting it. So I'm just going to keep on listening and ask my higher power to keep on putting me in the right place to hear the right message, to do the right thing, to feel better about myself, better about my, and help me let go of control and lean into him. With that, I'll pass.
Thanks so much. Melissa S. from New Jersey. Next, we have Savannah G. Please share, Savannah. Tell us where you're calling from.
Good morning. I'm Savannah G. I'm a compulsive eater from Pennsylvania. And thank you for your service today. So in this paragraph, I don't know if this is just a different form of the human intelligence, but mine shows up as really strong self-reliance, which developed a very strong will that it's taken a long time to kind of shift the control over to God's will. And it's still a struggle because in my self-reliance that developed, you know, like early on, I mean, I was very young. And the self-reliance, you know, because I didn't see God anywhere when I lived in self-reliance. I did not see God anywhere. So, I mean, just I guess by default, I thought I was God, but not thinking I was God. I don't know if that makes sense. But, you know, just in the, like, the things that I do today, the only way I really know if I'm acting as if I'm God or not, this is the only way I can tell, because I can't tell otherwise. I'm an addict. I have an addict mind. Like, I'm going to know when I'm acting like I'm God and when I'm not. The only way I really know is, like, if something happens and I give credit to God, then I know I'm not in the position of acting as God. But if I take the credit, then I know I'm acting like I'm God. You know, if I take credit for things, or if I'm not saying thank you, God, for this, thank you, God, for that, you know, whatever it is, if it's like helping me find something, if I thank God, then I know I'm not behaving as God. And, you know, that was a small example. But anyway, I don't know day to day, like, am I behaving like, you know, like, am I acting like I'm God? And the other way I could possibly know is, like, if I'm holding on to control too much, you know, which I still do. And it's never pleasant. I don't know. I wish I just had a spiritual body. Sometimes I didn't have to deal with the human part of me, because sometimes it just works against me. My humanness works against me. So anyway, with that, I'm going to pass. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks so much, Savannah G. from Pennsylvania. And we have time for a two-minute share, if anybody wants that, and who would like to share for 2 minutes.
Hi, this is Madeline. May I share?
Sure, Madeline, go for it.
Hi. I learned at a very early age in childhood that while I have relationship with God now, when I was growing up, I may have had relationship, but I didn't trust him the least little bit. He wasn't there for me. But I have been in OA since 2003, lost my abstinence in 25, and came to a vision for you in September of 25. And I knew immediately that God placed me here, because I fought coming here in the first place. That's one of my defects, self-will, self-reliance, false pride. But today, I am abstinent and have been since the first day I came here. I'm re-losing the weight I gained during my rebellion, and I am at peace. Even though I have a very sick husband, just lost my sister, take care of grandkids, I do all these things, but I am at peace. I have healing. I have self-worth. I am a recovering compulsive overeater one day at a time, and I pass.
Thanks so much, Madeline. Where are you calling from?
New York.
Okay, thanks, Madeline. From New York.
New York.
Yes, thank you. Okay, thank you to everyone who shared. Please join us for a second unrecorded hour of study immediately following the closing. The share ID for today, Thursday, July the 2nd, 2026, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is 23,598. That's 23598. We will now close with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. I will now ask Penny C. to read A Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then.
Good morning. Thank you, Tina. I'm Penny C., recovered compulsive overeater from the Boston area. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.